Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
All right, we're back. 2 week hiatus. We're back. October 19th, 2009, right in the thick of the holiday rush.
Indeed.
Horrible time to move, but I did it anyway. Have to send a big shout out to the Wombat for the truck and the help, and then of course to the Boogeyman and
no problem.
K-Dub and everybody. We got it all moved in a day, which was amazing. So now we're in the brand new studio.
Yes, the brand new palatial N4G Studios.
It is.
No longer underground.
Nope. It's actually not, like, hot or cold in here.
No, I know. It's, like, the perfect temperature.
Very comfortable. And we even have a window.
Yay.
Yeah, it's much brighter in here.
I can see clearly now. The light is on.
Wow. All
right. So, this week, we have no K-Dub because apparently he spent his gas money to buy Uncharted 2.
There you go.
So, that's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
He's hardcore.
He has his priorities.
He's definitely hardcore.
Yeah.
But with us, we have GambusCon.
Greetings, programs.
And we have the Wombat.
Hey, how's it going?
And I'm sure we have an ass load of games to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And since Gambus obviously hasn't played the single player of Uncharted.
Mm-hmm. You haven't yet?
No, unfortunately. If a certain game called Demon's Souls didn't come out, I would have, but yeah.
You're kind of quiet, Gambus.
I am? Am I quiet?
And move the mic a little closer to your mouth there.
A little bit closer.
Get a little bit closer.
I was going to say the volume isn't going to do anything to your voice.
No, okay. It changes the volume in their ears.
You want me to just speak louder?
Speak with your radio voice.
Speak from your chest, not from your head.
Alrighty then.
Because you're up first, brother.
Okay.
Radio.
Hey.
Okay. This past couple weeks, I'm going to start off by saying on my PSP.
PSP.
There we go. I played a game called Obscure the Aftermath.
Yes, you're reviewing that. How is that game?
It is very strange.
It's obscure.
It is obscure. It's obscure.
The main villains are flowers.
Okay,
fucking flowers.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
flowered sons of bitches.
I did not know that.
Okay, it's kind of like a teen horror movie
with flowers.
With flowers, and it's about these like college people that are very stereotypical, like almost like a Scream movie type of atmosphere, and what they want to do is, like the main guy character, he's like, oh, he's got his girlfriend in his bedroom when you first start the game,
brown chicken, brown cow,
and when you go to the bed, he's like, this bed has seen many girls come and go.
Wow.
And his girlfriend is like, oh, pig. And he goes, but you're the one that actually stayed. And I'm just like,
I have a question because I played a little bit of it before I handed it off to review.
Uh-huh.
Like at the beginning of the game, like you go through all that stuff where they're drinking the tea and whatever.
Oh,
from
God.
The flower and all that shit.
Yeah.
Then you get to the graveyard and there's like those sacks of people like jiggling.
Yeah.
Where the fuck do you go? It says, we must go through the graveyard, but there's no like path. I kept trying to walk, and I kept trying to hit the thing to knock it over, and I just kept hitting my girlfriend. And she kept going, ow!
Yeah, it's not very clear to where to go. What I did was, because some of the, you're right. There's like these jiggly like meat puppet things.
Yeah, they're creepy looking, and some of them scream when you hit them.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very very bizarre. Kind of Silent Hill, but almost as if Silent Hill was a teen comedy.
Not another teen movie.
No, but thing is, at that point, there's some of the things in that graveyard are wooden. They're actually like wooden characters.
They got wood.
Yeah, they got wood. And you hit those and they break, and you kind of just try to maneuver your way through. And the thing is that whole sequence is actually a hallucination.
Well, thanks for ruining it for me. I wasn't going to play it anyway. Yeah, I don't really care. So I gave it to you to review.
This game is kind of a mediocre survival horror game. It's good. I'll say this. It's a good game. And the graphics are really, really good for a PSP game.
Yeah, I think it was a PS2 game initially. And
yeah.
It didn't look bad, a little bit I played of it, but I don't know.
I mean, the graphics are somewhere in between.
All right.
Like Resident Evil 3.
Well, that's not that bad.
It's not Resident Evil 3.
When's the last time you played Resident Evil 3? That one's kind of blocky.
Okay, it's probably about on level with, like, Code Veronica.
There you go.
Yeah. But on PSP...
Dreamcast!
It looks really good. Music is also really good. It was actually done by an orchestra. An actual like symphony, so that was really cool. And it's got flowers that make you high and turn people into monsters.
Interesting.
Yeah. Look for Gambus's review this Monday.
Yes,
if you'll be high on flowers.
Yeah, if you can handle the barrage of reviews coming this Monday, as when the show goes live. So today.
Yes, today. All right.
Today.
Oh, just stop. Just stop.
I did that just for you.
Okay.
Billy Corgan. Makes me want to die.
Another PSP title that I downloaded.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. PSP. Go to hell.
Yeah, exactly. I actually downloaded one of the PSP mini titles.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
Field Runners.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the tower defense game.
Interesting.
Also on the iPhone?
Yes. Probably for about half the price.
But I don't know. How much is it on PSP?
It was like $6.99.
I think it's $4.99 on iPhone.
Yeah.
It might be $6.99. I don't remember.
But it's pretty good. I really like it. I like the art style. It's kind of a... It's kind of, the art style reminds me a lot of Metal Slug, the SNK game, but without the pixels and a lot of smoothness. So,
like butter.
Oh my god! And it's pretty sweet. I played it quite a bit last night. It's pretty good.
Last night.
Yeah.
I was thinking last night.
That's the one I was going with.
She said.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it.
Terrible
words.
Yeah, we're definitely not the Strokes.
Y'all turn me out.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. I got some PS3.
That doesn't fucking
games.
Work.
Yeah,
that
doesn't work. You know, it's like
it's got to have that sound it makes when it starts up a game. Wow, whatever the fuck it does.
I played the Need for Speed Shift demo.
Do you have the Need for Speed?
I guess. Yeah,
don't sound too enthusiastic.
Need. Yeah,
the Need for Speed.
I have the Need for Queef.
Wow.
I watched that episode of South Park last night.
Do you have the Need for Speed, brother?
I have the Need for Tweed.
What the hell is a tweed?
Tweed. It's a material.
Oh. Okay.
I was thinking like Twitter.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with society today.
Yeah. I'm going to need a tweet.
I love watching Gambus tweet because he always spells like the most obscure word wrong. So when he got on the other day, he's like, hey, what's up, Twitterverse?
Yeah. It with an E. Twitterverse. Dude, I was like, I saw
yes.
That.
Yes. That is, but see, that's why you have so many followers. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is the reason. That's a part of the magic.
That's all a part of the magic.
You have to make yourself humble.
That really made me smile when I saw, hello, Twitterverse.
Twitterverse.
That was purely intentional as well.
I'm sure.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Need for Speed.
Yeah, Need for Speed. Awesome demo.
Awesome game.
One of the most beautiful looking racing games I've ever seen.
It's splendiferous.
The inside cockpit.
I'm glad you finished
yeah,
that
I'm glad you. The inside
cockpit
mode.
It's a nice little pause there.
It's the best interior design.
Where's your mind at?
That's what we call a pregnant pause.
Yeah, it's got the best interior driving view I've ever seen in a game. The colors are fantastic. The speed is relentless because the faster you go, the more that the interior actually starts to blur, and you get this like tunnel vision, and it really makes you feel like you're achieving high velocity.
It's the first time a Need for Speed game in a while has actually had the
good
sense
speed.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. It has a really cool presentation. It's got basically an ADD presentation where it's like real fast cutting, and you hear this guy talking about the track that you're about ready to drive through, and he's like describing every single turn to you. Oh, in this corner, you're going to have to go real slow. And over here, you're going to have to go really fast.
It's Gambus Khan's British accent.
Yeah. Gambus Khan's terrible British accent.
Terrible, terrible.
You're going to have to go this way. Oh, good.
Oh, God. Oh, turn up here.
Make sure you turn to the left up here. Don't go too far down there. You'll never be able to get back.
And I'll lose all my quid.
Terrible. Terrible. Terrible accent, Gambus. Terrible.
You know what? We should talk to the guys at NumThumb and get them to do an all-American accent.
Yeah,
I would love to hear how funny that shit would be. I could get some laughs out of that.
Oh, my God.
Hello, welcome to the NumThumb Gaming.
Oh, man. I don't know if I could go on after this.
Well, you have
to. Well, you'd better.
You still got more stuff on that little list of yours.
Yeah. Getting all choked.
Somebody's smuggling balloons.
That's a cool picture from Magna Carta 2
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
That is impossibly
large.
Ridiculous.
You know what's funny is that's the same girl. So obviously they overdraw her.
Is one of her powers magical breast swelling?
It's balloon smuggling. They're like balloons. Sometimes they're inflated, sometimes they're not.
What we're looking at, for people who don't know, is a Magna Carta 2 art book. And on the cover, the heroine has seemingly impossibly large breasts.
Yep.
And yet, in half the picture on the inside, she is very flat-chested. Man. So I'm not really understanding the...
Yeah, that's her in the game.
The progression there.
It's well, amazing.
Clearly they put giant breasts on the cover in order to entice people like Gambus Khan.
I think the front cover was fan art.
No, it's not fan art. It's actually drawn by...
Yeah, I know. I was just saying that.
So go on with your fondling.
Okay. I played multiplayer Uncharted 2 because another game took up too much time and I was only able to play multiplayer of Uncharted 2. And... it is excellent.
Yeah, I really like the multiplayer. Yes. I haven't played it yet in the full game. Like, since I bought the actual game, I haven't played the multiplayer yet because I want to beat the single player first. But I played the beta and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's pretty much like the beta, but with more stages.
Right.
And one of the stages in particular was freaking awesome. It was a train wreck.
Yeah, you need to
Yeah, you need to play the single player.
Play the game.
Yeah, the train wreck multiplayer map was phenomenal. The graphics are out of this world entirely.
Out of this world. You ain't seen shit yet.
I know. I know the single player is just going to blow me out of my seat. But
it's a fucking chicken with a shotgun.
What?
That's crazy.
Where is a chicken?
You didn't see that?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Still looking at the Magna Carta 2 art book.
Yeah, Zero's still looking at the Magna Carta 2 art book. That's what we do while we're recording this show. We do other things.
Yes.
Actually, we've got an Xbox set up in here. We could play some Bayonetta while we're doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. No, because then we wouldn't talk.
No, we wouldn't.
It'd be two hours of Gambus drooling at Bayonetta. And
getting her clothes off.
And the...
take your clothes off.
The rest of us just yelling, going, oh, look at it. Oh, shit. Oh.
Oh, it's a giant fucking dragon.
For 2 hours.
But, yeah, I got to give a shout out to John W. Played some multiplayer of Uncharted 2, and also had some other N4G listeners that participated in our multiplayer campaign that lasted for about a half hour.
Nice.
I don't know everybody's name off the top of my head because there's several of them that I invited. I'll just say this. In the future, I will look forward to playing more multiplayer gaming with you. And
you'll also look forward to writing their names down so you can give them a proper shout out.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactamundo.
Yes.
Beatrice.
Yes.
It works. I don't know. It's
and
the game I pulled out of my ass.
The game that.
That's gross.
Game that I played the most of, hands down, was a little game called Demon Souls.
The hell
yeah,
is
I'm
that?
Really, I'm really anxious to get your full rundown on what you think of it.
It's one of my favorite games of the year. It's probably in my top three games of the whole year that I've played. I'm addicted to it. I don't know if I can stop playing. I don't know if I can stop dying.
Yeah.
I noticed you only had one trophy so far.
You just figure that I'll probably play for about 10 hours between each trophy.
Yeah, that was the thing that kind of sucked about the press build is no trophies.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no trophies.
I've only beaten one boss so far.
You suck!
The Phalanx?
Yes.
Phalanx or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool boss.
It was a cool boss. I love the slime.
Yeah.
Like the there's these like slimes that have shields on them and they look like tar.
Yeah.
You know,
they
really
throw these huge spears.
Yeah.
What's funny is I really, 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 really want to play this game. My problem is I'm getting frustrated at the games that I have that aren't nearly as hard because I'm trying to rush through so many different games.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a game you'll probably want to pick up when there's a lull and you can afford to put some time into it. Because honestly, number one, like Gambus said, you'll get addicted to it. And number two, if you're in that mode where you're just trying to rush through something, you're going to get frustrated real quick because every time you die, you're going to have to start at the beginning of the level and it's going to make you want to punch a kitten right in the chest.
That's how I felt at the end of Brutal Legend.
Really?
I don't want to talk about that right now.
But, I got killed a few times by a fire-breathing dragon. You know?
Yes. The dragon, that dragon section is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. The graphics in the game are absolutely breathtaking. Really, really nice
Take
visuals.
Take my breath away.
Bow, now, bow, now, now.
Yeah.
Bow, now,
so, little bit of Berlin in the house.
Indeed.
Big thumbs up to Demon Souls from the Gambus Con.
Yes. And it's an incredible game.
And what sucks is this game comes out, like, what, a week before Uncharted did?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been the perfect midsummer game,
in my opinion.
Yeah. And lastly, I just, right before we recorded, I just got done playing the...
titty game.
Yes.
Wow.
Or the butt game, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, TNA.
The naked game?
The nakedness.
Or near naked, at least.
Oh, she got full-on naked. You just couldn't see.
Yeah.
Right.
All of her hair come off.
When she turned into a dragon.
When she turned into a dragon 8.0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the thing I don't understand about games where you can turn into a dragon like that, or like in the old Mortal Kombat series with the animalities where Liu Kang could turn into a dragon. It's like, won't you just turn into a dragon at the beginning of the fight, eat him in half, and call it a day?
That would make things much smoother.
I understand that it would break the
Well, yeah, it would kind of just take away the whole game away. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Unless it was like Mortal Kombat Annihilation where the other guy turns into a three-headed dragon.
That looked like it was animated by the same guys that did Gumby?
Yeah. Oh, that was such a terrible
scene. Oh, my God.
That scene was awful.
I remember when I saw that in the movie theater.
You're like, I want my fucking money back.
Yeah, I wanted my money and my time back.
Looked like three stockings filled with Play-Doh flipping around.
Yeah.
God, that was terrible.
Awful.
I think that movie's coming to Blu-ray soon, and we should really see the quality in that one, right?
Yeah, I thought the special effects in Clash of the Titans was
special
better.
Defects. That movie was terrible. So what are you playing this week, brother?
Bayonetta.
I played Bayonetta.
Oh, that's right. You never talked
about it. What's your verdict on it, having played the demo?
It was your first climax, I know. That's the name of the demo.
Really?
Yeah.
The name of the demo is First Climax?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sex sells, and everybody's buying.
I know I definitely will be picking this game up.
Gambus Khan's definitely buying. Yeah.
I want to see your boobies. I'll just put it this way. If anybody who's read Play magazine and knows who Dave Halvorsen is, this is going to be like his game of the freaking decade. Not just of the year, but of the decade. And I have to say that I'm really looking forward to the game, too.
I bet you are.
Yeah,
looks too much like Devil May Cry for me.
Well, the first part of it, you didn't see the first part. But
right.
The first part of it, you're free-falling, and you're fighting on the side of a clock tower as it's falling from the sky. And which kind of doesn't make any sense, but I'll just go with it.
Dude, her entire outfit is made out of hair that she can turn into a giant dragon.
Or a giant fucking stiletto heel.
Yeah.
Okay, none of this game is supposed to make... You're fighting angels and demons.
Yeah.
It's like a Ron Howard movie.
And she turns into a butterfly. and
with Tom Hanks.
And she...
It's crazy-ass hair.
And she can make plants grow.
Oh...
But
by pissing on them.
The visuals are absolutely stunning. The pace is incredible.
The ship.
It's basically Devil May Cry, but on crack and steroids.
Naked.
Wow, that would
certainly
cause some damage to your heart, I imagine.
Yeah,
and steroids.
Yeah, crack and steroids.
And naked.
Just inject it into Dante. Give them a sex change, and there you go.
That's a naked hairy chick.
Well, you wouldn't have to go too far. Because Dante's kind of girly looking anyway.
Yeah, I
said. Oh, shizzle.
Yeah. But, that concludes this last couple weeks worth of Fondling.
Fondling.
Future Fondling would be finishing up my review for Obscure the Aftermath.
Obscure!
And
don't forget about your Kinkoboncho review that's coming up soon.
Yeah, I know. My Kinkoboncho. Yeah.
Kinkoboncho.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to Kinkoboncho.
Kinkoboncho!
And hopefully I'll play some single-player Uncharted, as well as more multiplayer Uncharted. And obviously...
Your mama.
Obviously, I'll be playing some more Demon Souls.
Demon's Souls.
Because that game is freaking awesome.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the Wombat.
Well, thanks for moving on to me. I appreciate it.
Lemonade.
So, first off, I have two quick shout-outs. I want to send a shout-out to Frustrated Fury and Verk, both of whom sent me messages asking to play co-op with me on two different games. And both times, I was 5 minutes away from getting off the system, so I couldn't play. But big thanks to them for shooting out messages to me anyway. I I played some more Halo 3 ODST, which I still haven't beat. Because I haven't had as much time to play it as I would like. Still digging it. I still think it's pretty awesome. I also this week played some Operation Flashpoint, Dragon Rising. It's really good. It's sort of, and I'm probably going to get blown up for this, but hear me out, people. It's sort of the first-person shooter equivalent of Demon's Souls in that if you try and rush through it, or if you try and play it like another game in the genre, you're going to die a lot and you're going to get incredibly frustrated.
Call of Duty?
Yeah, you can't play it like Call of Duty at all. It reminds me of a mix between the old Operation Flashpoint on PC, and it sort of reminds me of a first-person version of the recent Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter games. It's tough, and there's a chance that you will die a lot. You can take... if you play it on normal difficulty, you can take a couple shots before you'll die. If you get shot, it'll show you a little thing in the bottom. Will show you where you're hit and how severely, and then you'll start bleeding out. And you have a field dressing. You have to equip the field dressing like you would a gun, and you hold the trigger, and it'll bring up a little wheel, and it'll say applying field dressing, and you have to hold it the entire time, and you'll put the field dressing on to stop the bleeding or whatever. Sometimes you'll get shot to the point where you can't move. You like fall down to the ground or whatever, and then you can you've got a quick command wheel that you can command the guys in your squad with, and you can go to medic, and a medic will come over, and if your medic's still alive, or one of your other guys will come over with a field dressing if he's not, but he'll come over and like bandage you up or whatever. But it's tough, and you got to make sure your squad mates stay alive, which is tough. Their AI seems to be pretty good. Sometimes they don't get behind cover when they should. They just kind of stand there. Overall, I mean, it's got the same kind of squad command features you would expect. You can tell them to flank left or flank right, or you can tell them to suppress an area. You can bunch out or bunch in, or you can spread out. Like it's got all this squad command stuff you would expect from a game like that. Graphics are pretty good. It looks pretty good. The weapons are plentiful, and they're all pretty cool. There's one night ops machine gun that you get in the second mission that when you look through the scope, it sort of grays everything out, and the enemies show up bright gray. So it's kind of handy. But overall, I mean, it's a really good shooter. It's just you have to go into it with the right expectations. It's not your Call of Duty kind of shooter that you can just rush in, kill everybody by yourself. You actually have to be really strategic about making sure you're in the right position when you open fire on a group of enemies and making sure your squad mates are in the right position and doing the right things.
Do the right thing. It's a Spike Lee joint.
I hope to play it more this week in preparation for my review, which should be up hopefully this week. But overall, yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up as long as you like realistic shooters and as long as you're, you know, patient enough to play a game like that. And then the only other, I bought Brutal Legend, but I purposely haven't played it yet, specifically because, number one, when I start playing it, I want to invest all my time to it, and I'm not in a position where I can do that right now because I have other games I need to play for review and for pleasure.
Yeah, we don't get that luxury.
Yeah, so I've got Brutal Legend kind of set to the side to play after I finish Uncharted 2, which is the other game that I played this week. And I, unlike Gambus, have started the single player and have not played the multiplayer in the full version yet. I'm not very far in, just because, you know, got a lot of stuff going on, haven't had as much time to game as I would like. But I'm on chapter 5 in the city,
Urban Warfare.
Freaking gorgeous. I mean, just ridiculously gorgeous.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
I imagine. I love my favorite part of the game so far. Two favorite parts of the game so far. And it won't be spoiling anything to anybody for those who haven't played it. The very, very beginning, where Drake wakes up and he's got snow on him or whatever, and he stands up and the camera pans in from way out. That part is phenomenal because it gives you a good idea of how great the graphics are. In the jungle, when you come out of, like, the thick jungle and you come out onto that, like, clearing up the mountain and you look out over the landscape and it's, like, the ocean and mountains and a whole bunch of trees and, like, a river flowing, it's just ridiculous. Even better looking than the first, which is...
amazing.
Yeah. A feat in and of itself. But so far, I mean, the pacing is perfect. The voice acting is perfect. The graphics are fantastic. The gameplay is fantastic. It's overall, it's everything I expected it to be so far. And I'm not even, you know, I'm not even a fourth of the way through. I'm not even a fifth of the way through.
Nope.
So I'm really, really anxiously awaiting getting back into playing that some more. But that pretty much wraps it up for what I played this week. As far as what I'm playing, maybe Brutal Legend, maybe this week, but probably not. That'll probably have to wait till the week after. Tuesday, I'm getting Borderlands. Really excited to play that because I'm a loot whore, and it seems like a loot whore's kind of game. So I'm really excited for that one. And then more Uncharted 2. And more Operation Flashpoint for review, and then I got to play NBA 2K10 for review too, because I still haven't played it. If I'm being honest, so should be a busy week. We'll see if I actually get time to play all that stuff.
Yeah, I moved.
Yeah, that's your fondling this week is fondling a whole bunch of furniture.
Yeah, that was a whole lot of fun. But I did manage to sneak in a lot of games, including playing through the entire single player of Uncharted, which took me 10 hours.
10 hours, huh?
I wasn't searching for treasure, so...
In my opinion, 10 to 12 hours is the wheelhouse for a third-person action game. That's the perfect amount of time. It's not too short, and it's not too long. Because if it gets up to the 16, 17-hour range, it's just too long for a third-person action game.
Yeah.
10 to 12 is pretty much perfect.
Well, that was without looking for any treasure. I think I finished... There's 100 treasures in the game. I think I finished the game with 14.
Wow.
So I wasn't looking at all. But... just wow. From beginning to end, just wow. That game was phenomenal.
Now, here's a question. Because I know that you're a huge Batman fanboy. Not the game, but the character. Does it edge out Arkham Asylum for your game of the year?
Man, I'm going to be fighting. I'm going to be fighting when the end of the year awards come, and I got to pick between those two.
Because I know you're a Batman fanboy, so I know it's
Batman
gotta be
tough. Batman was so good on top of being a Batman fanboy.
Right.
Yeah.
And Uncharted is just... phenomenal. Those two games right now are the top two, and I'm struggling with which one I like better.
Hmm.
But Uncharted 2 was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. That game was great from the beginning. There were frustrating parts where you have to fight certain enemies, and that's not a whole lot of fun, and you die a lot, and it gets frustrating. There's one frustrating level that I played over and over and over again, and but I couldn't stop.
Right, because so, the game's so good.
Yeah, I just wanted to keep going. I wanted the story, you know, and the story was so good, and just the dialogue in the game is so perfect.
Yeah, and once again, too, and this is something that gets overlooked in just about every other game, but the animations in that game, they were phenomenal in the first one, and in this one, they're just even better. Like, all the animations in the game. From the climbing animations to the ducking behind a table and shoving it over to use as cover, everything just looks flawless.
It's very, very beautiful. And like I said, Chapter 5, you haven't seen anything yet.
No, yeah, I imagine.
There's a puzzle in that game that the scale of it is just huge. I'm talking just gigantic. It's so big, it's bigger than some of the things you climb.
Wow.
And you have to climb part of this puzzle.
Wow.
I mean, it's that big.
So it's kind of like a Prince of Persia moment?
It's huge.
Because I know that some of the, like, puzzles in, what was it, the first one, the Sands of Time?
Sands of Time.
Yeah. There was a couple puzzles in that that were humongous.
Yeah, there's just, and it paces itself so well. Like, you've got storyline here, you've got, you know, action parts here, you've got puzzle parts here, which the puzzles seem to be a little less throughout the entire game than the actual action. It seemed to be more action than puzzle.
Well, the first one was, too.
Yeah.
It's, it sort of goes the action route more than the puzzle route, but
the story is not bad. I like the overall story. I like where it went. I like all the stuff that it did.
Yeah.
I don't know if I liked it as much as the first one as far as, like, what happened.
Gotcha.
So, but I did still love it. I did still love every minute. And you know, obviously, if you've played the beginning part, what it's kind of going for.
Right.
You know, so. But, yeah, I played that. That was my big game for the week. I finished up Brutal Legend for review, and that last battle just drove me up a wall. I'm so pissed
Tough.
Off. It's just... God. You really, by the time... I recommend if you're going to play through the game, make sure you level up. You find all the solos. Learn the RTS system. Because if you don't know the RTS system very well in the last battle, you will lose.
Now, let me ask you a question. There's some debate back and forth because Tim Schafer's basically saying online that you shouldn't play it as a full RTS. That the way it should be played is the, like, you on foot kind of stuff more than the RTS side of it. How did you play it when you played it?
Most of the time I played it the way he suggested, that last battle. And the problem is if you die during an RTS battle, you lose 50 fans.
Right.
And the other team gains 50 fans. So in that last battle, that 50 fans will cost you a lot more than you realize. And by the time you respawn and come back in, the enemies have taken over one of your resource parts, and
right.
And eventually you get overrun. So in the last battle, I spent more time playing it as an RTS than I did actually playing it as an action
right.
game. Now, the battle before the last battle, I think it took me an hour.
Wow.
I didn't die. I kept pushing forward, and then they'd push me back, and I'd push forward. Because the objective is to go and destroy their stage, obviously.
Right.
And I'd get up to the stage, and then they'd knock me back. And then eventually they came over and took over a couple of mine, so I had to push forward again. But the battle took me, like, almost an hour.
Wow.
And it was intense.
That sounds epic.
It was good. It was really good. And you got to learn your units, too. Like, you got to know what they do, what they're good against. You can actually upgrade your units the further you get into the game. You can upgrade your stage so that you can build more units. It's a very in-depth RTS.
Hmm.
Even on the outside, it doesn't look like it is. I also played the Bayonetta demo. Love that.
But overall, what do you think of Brutal Legend?
I gave it a 9 out of 10. I think it's a great game. I think it's
Sweet.
A really, really great game. I played the Bayonetta demo. I will definitely be buying that. That's a very fun, very Devil May Cry action game, but just way over the top.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else I played. I played The Wizard of Oz Beyond the Yellow Brick Road for the DS. I'm reviewing that.
I was actually kind of curious about that game.
It's really good. It's really good.
Really?
It looks like it's a shovelware to go with the DVD release of the movie and the Blu-ray and all that. But it's a Japanese RPG.
Yeah.
Where you play as the four characters and they're in your party and you use a trackball with the DS stylus to move your characters around and stuff. It's really, really interesting. If you're looking for a good RPG on the DS, it's actually really good. Don't overlook it. It's actually a lot better than you'd think it would be.
Huh.
Hmm.
I'm still playing through my seasons on Madden. I'm now 11-1, about to go into my second playoffs.
Nice.
So I'm still playing the hell out of it. I absolutely love it. I played Lucidity. Of course, I played that before the last show, but it's really interesting. It's like a game where your character's always moving, and then you have to put the pieces together in front of them so they can continue to move.
Mm-hmm.
There's been other games that do that, but I can't think of one off the top of my head. Almost like Lemmings, but not Lemmings.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, and each puzzle piece you give goes on, but it's like the art style is really, really cool. Like, I really think the art style is really nice. Of course, I played South Park Let's Go Play Tower Defense. Man, that's so for the fans, and it's so freaking awesome. Just Tower Defense where you're killing hippies and ginger kids and underpants gnomes and...
this might actually be a South Park game that I might want to pick up because I'm kind of getting into the tower defense genre.
It's a tower defense game where you can actually move the four kids around and actually position them and then build like different towers in different spots, and it's really good tower defense. It's not the best tower defense by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're a fan of South Park, it's absolutely great because it's so fan service. It's definitely the best South Park game ever made. Not that that's a feat.
Right.
But it is very, very good.
Toppling Chef's Love Shack.
Ah, Chef's Love Shack. Or South Park Rally.
A South Park Rally. Mm. Or that South Park first-person shooter on the 64.
Yeah, that was a great, where you could pee on the snowballs.
Right.
Yeah, that was a great game. I played a surprising game called Tornado Outbreak. You wouldn't believe it. But it's like Katamari Damacy, kind of, except you play a tornado, and instead of collecting stuff, you just destroy it.
Awesome.
You start as a little tornado, and you pick up little things, and then eventually you get bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually you can take down, like, houses and stuff. But the one thing I didn't know about the game that actually intrigued me after I found out was it's made by a studio called Loose Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
They're comprised of people from a little group you might have heard called Sucker Punch.
Ah.
Interesting.
So the game looks a lot like Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
Really? As far as the art style goes, it looks a lot like... And you know what? The story is actually interesting. As dumb as it sounds, you play this character named Zephyr, who's a wind warrior. And your leader's name is Nimbus.
Well, that makes sense.
Right.
You know. Yeah. But the voice acting is actually really good, and the story is actually, like, really well told.
Huh.
Really?
As stupid as the story is, it's like you're into it. You're like, oh, what's going to happen now? You know? And it's,
so it's got pretty good writing and execution.
Yeah, it really does. Even though the story is totally outlandish.
Kind of silly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. And I love the visual style because it looks like a Saturday morning cartoon. You know,
awesome.
Like, you can tell what you're able to break because when you get your tornado grows bigger, like, the things will shake that you can tear up.
So, I mean, you think this might become an underground hit or...
It's really kind of simple, which is probably why it's only $40. Yeah. No matter which system you buy it on, it's only $40. So, but I recommend if you've got kids or if you are into the Katamari Damacy kind of thing, it's kind of got that same motif going on. But it is actually really good. It's really fun. I reviewed NBA Live, so I got to review that. It's good. It is actually really good. I'm not a big basketball fan, but it's the best NBA Live that's come out in years. I mean, EA Sports has done a phenomenal job of continuing to make their games better and better every year. And this one's actually, I haven't played 2K, but 2K's been the king for so many years now. And this year, it may actually be a tough choice because Live is really good. And the last game that I started playing, which I haven't got too far into, is Magna Carta 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
And I actually really like what I played of it, so I'm really excited to actually get into another... This is the first Japanese RPG I've really gotten into, so it's Blue Dragon. But I love the combat system. I love the chaining combos between the characters, and the story is actually good. It's actually interesting. And the graphics are gorgeous. I mean, like, the first level that you're on is, like, the side of a cliff, and, I mean, it's got a huge vista that you can look out of, and it's just... I really like it. I'll talk more about it when I play. I've only played for like a half hour or so. But I got to review that this week, so I'll be playing.
So is there voice acting in this game?
Mm-hmm.
Is it pretty decent?
It's average.
Average, okay.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not horrible, but no, I like it so far.
Does it have pretty good presentation?
Oh, yeah. The menu system is slick and smooth. It's easy to understand. And the combat's all real time. So that's really nice. It's a big thing that I like about it. And I love the chaining stuff where, like, you have a stamina meter, and if you fill it up, you overdrive, and you do a super special attack, and then you can chain it with another character and do, like, tag team chain combos and stuff. It's just... I don't know what it is about the game, but I actually really did get into it.
Well, thing is, the game is actually not Japanese.
No, it's Korean.
Yeah, it's Korean. That might be the thing, because there's kind of a subtle difference between Japanese and Korean, because a lot of people would be like, oh, the Koreans are just trying to mimic the Japanese. But no, the Koreans actually have their own style of gameplay and artwork. I mean, I can actually tell, like, the difference between, like Korean manga and Japanese manga and stuff like that. And the thing is, like, when it comes to RPGs, it's kind of a slightly different flavor.
Flavor Flav. Flavor Flav.
But yeah, it's still like an Asian type of taste, if you will. but the
oh
Koreans,
my God,
the Koreans are pretty really really talented.
It's the traditional Japanese RPG flavor,
yeah,
feel. So a lot of people are just going to call it a JRPG.
Yeah,
But
it's actually a KRPG.
A KRPG sounds like a radio station. KRPG,
hey,
Seattle,
hey. Ladies and gentlemen, KRPG,
KRPG butt sex,
the max.
And there's the butt sex.
Wow.
I was trying to think if there was absolutely anything else I played, but I don't think there is. This is a very exciting week for me, though, because I finished Uncharted and Brutal Legend, so those are out of the way. I can start Magna Carta.
Mm-hmm.
My Borderlands should be here this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found out I'm going to be reviewing Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars for the PSP.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
So I should have that this week. So there's a lot of stuff this week. I don't know what else is coming. I'm sure a lot of minuscule games and...
So, tell me, ZT, when Modern Warfare 2 comes out...
I'm going to kick its ass.
Do you feel that you're going to be overly conflicted over Game of the Year?
I don't know. It really depends on how COD is going to be. I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be in my top 10, because Infinity Ward has never disappointed me, and this game, from what I've seen, just looks... phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it's going to have to be super, super special to outdo Batman or Uncharted. Because those two games, I mean, wow. Just wow is all I can say between those two games.
Because I just wanted to ask your opinion, because I listen to a lot of video game podcasts on a weekly basis, and pretty much everybody... is like, oh my God, when Modern Warfare 2 comes out, I'm not going to be playing anything for at least a month, maybe 2 months, because it's just going to be all Modern Warfare 2.
See, you know what's funny is I'm actually, Modern Warfare 2 is one of the games this winter that I'm least excited for, oddly enough. And I loved Modern Warfare. It's just, there's so many other games that are coming out that, you know, are different.
Yeah.
From that I just, it's one of the games I'm actually looking forward to least, oddly enough. I'm looking forward to Borderlands a lot more. I'm looking forward to Dragon Age Origins probably more than anything else
that's
yet to come out.
That's a game everybody keeps forgetting about,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And actually,
yeah.
I started reading the first prequel novel for Dragon Age Origins, and it's really, really good, the prequel novel is. So I imagine the actual game is going to be... phenomenal, because the novel's written by the lead writer of the game.
I think you got two people in the Call of Duty camp. You've got the people who think it's going to be the end-all, be-all, greatest game ever made because they're so addicted to COD4.
Right.
And then you've got the people who love Call of Duty, think it's going to be a really good game, but don't truly believe it's going to be game of the year, but that could change when they play it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got those two camps. You really don't have anybody, which is what's amazing about the game, you don't have anybody going, oh, it's going to suck.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it's going to be
awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's so many other games that are coming out that I'm more excited about.
And I think you also have the two camps. There's a lot of people who are in the, oh, I know it'll be good, but it could be game of the year, are single-player gamers.
Right.
And the people who are like, oh, it'll be the greatest game ever made,
are multiplayer gamers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it all depends on what your flavor is.
Yeah, I'm more of a single-player guy, so...
Not that COD single player will not be phenomenal, because it will be.
I know it will be.
But to be better than Batman or Uncharted,
it's questionable.
It's going to depend.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
who knows?
It could come out and we could be like, fuck Uncharted and Batman. This game just blew it out of the water. But we don't know.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not likely for people who are
into that action adventure.
Well, the thing is, most of the podcasts I listen to, I'm not going to name any names or anything, but most of the hosts on all of them are basically like, oh, it's going to be the end-all, be-all.
Well,
it's going to be...
There's a chance it will be. I don't see it. But
yeah.
But that's... I mean, that comes to... from my personal preference anyway, because I prefer games like Batman and Uncharted than first-person shooters, typically.
Yeah, same here. I'm As you guys know, I'm not really much of a first-person shooter kind of guy.
All I know is this year was kick-ass.
Yes.
It's going to be even more kick-ass.
It's going to be even more. And 2010 is going to be even more kick-ass.
2010
is going to kill you in the first 3 months.
And by the way, I'm super excited about the fact that they announced the date for Mass Effect 2. January 25th.
Yeah.
That's pretty soon.
Do you realize in the first 3 months you've got, supposedly, God of War, you know, Mass Effect 2, you got Bayonetta coming out, you got Splinter Cell.
Maybe Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo, maybe.
Yeah. That in itself is a lot for first quarter.
What are you looking at there? You're looking at a broke-ass wallet.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a full lineup. In the very beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, for me, the fact that we get two full-out BioWare games in within 2 months of each other is just heaven on earth for me.
Hopefully you can finish Dragon Age before it comes out.
Yeah.
You know what other we'll game see. that none of us even mention hardly ever on this podcast?
What's that?
New Super Mario Wii.
Yeah, it does. That looks pretty good too.
Yeah,
I hope it's really good.
I haven't really dug much into it, but you're right; it does look pretty good.
The only thing that I'm kind of conflicted about for that title is the whole, like, how much does that multiplayer aspect of the game? How much is that essential to the game? I mean, can you play it as a single player game and it actually feeling like a full fledged Mario game? Like you're getting everything out of the game that you would hope for in a Mario?
Well, I bet you can, because isn't this the first game to use that play for you technology?
It is, yes.
Where you can, like, the game will play itself for you?
Right.
Thing is, though, I don't know how I feel about that, man. That's...
Well, you don't have to use it.
It's an option.
That's like DLC, you know? You can be against it, but at the same time, you don't have to buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but the difference between that and DLC is DLC, sometimes they hold it out.
Right.
That it could have been in the game.
Right.
With this one, you don't even have to bother. You can just say, screw it, and never use it.
But, I mean, my main concern with New Super Mario Bros. Wii is that, playing it as a straight-up single-player game, I'm wondering if the actual stage layouts are going to be more...
geared towards multiplayer?
Yeah. And have more of a simplistic, wider open feel and not as much of a platformer type of game like traditional Mario 2D games.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I'm actually kind of apprehensive and almost, you know, I'm just like, is this going to be a real Mario game or is it going to be a mixture of Mario meets, like, Super Smash Brothers?
But you said Mario's meat.
Mario's meat.
You know what other game we didn't mention?
What's that? What's that?
Lost Planet.
Oh, yeah. There's another big game in the first 3 months.
Yeah. There's another huge one. Yeah.
And when is Dead Rising coming out? Does anybody even know? Is it next Christmas?
I don't know that they've announced a date yet.
Probably next Christmas. 2010 is going to be sick.
Yeah.
And don't forget that there's a new GTA 4 expansion coming out this month.
And just remember, just 12 short months ago, we were all saying, I don't know if there's any way 2009 can beat 2008. I don't know if there's any way any year can beat 2008. And the year before that, we were like, I don't know if anything can beat 2007.
It just keeps getting better and
better.
And then, of course, midsummer of next year will be Final Fantasy 13.
Yep.
Which...
maybe.
Maybe.
Which is... probably my most...
which isn't it supposed to be out in December in Japan?
Yeah, in Japan.
Man.
If it comes out in Japan in December, then that'll pretty much solidify that it'll probably be out.
People have no idea how spoiled they are right now.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Which is why it's kind of disappointing that we're back in the if a game scores an 8.5, it sucks. realm, because there's so many great games coming out that if anything comes out that, like, there's so many nines flying around this time of year, nines and tens flying around this time of year, that anytime a game comes out and it says 8.5, people are like, oh, that sucks. Why would you play that? It sucks.
Yet when a game gets an 8.5 in the summer,
right,
it's awesome.
It's awesome, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing how the seasons change the validity of a score.
Yeah.
Whatever. So. I'll tell you what. If it's an 8.5 and it's your thing, you should buy it. Actually, if it's an 8 and it's your thing, you should buy it.
Hell, if it's a 7 and it's your thing, you should buy it.
No doubt. You know, 6 is if you're in the mood for it.
Right.
And 5 is just, well, you know, whatever.
It's hit or miss.
Well, you can go way to way.
With me, 6 is if you're like a collector.
Really?
There you go.
In my opinion.
I've liked 6s before.
I have too.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on who's giving him a 6.
Exactly.
One specific outlet that I won't name gave Too Human a 2. So...
It's definitely not that. It's definitely not a 2.
But, no. Yeah, I mean, it's all based on what you like.
A 2? Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't like that game, but 2?
Yeah.
That was a good game.
I think that reviewer was just trying to be melodramatic about their review.
Kind of like the 6 for Uncharted?
Yeah.
How funny is that?
Give me a fucking break.
How funny is it that you have to give it a 6? You know what I mean?
Give me a break.
You can't even give it like a 1 or a 2 because you know
that ain't
right.
Give me a break.
Some people.
Find the line. It's over. We're going to wrap that shit up in a package with a bow. We're going to do some it's still generic news segment. Weekly news.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents... Generic ass news segment that we still don't have a name for 6 weeks later. Brought to you by the holiday season. The time of year where everyone gathers together to share in the giving spirit. Except for the gaming community who gathers together to say, fuck those pussies. Look at all this money you could spend on video games. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
You know, news announcer guy Wombat doesn't like that word.
I know. I keep trying to tell him that, and he won't fucking listen. And it drives me up a wall.
What a bastard.
Shut up, pussy!
It's just wrong. It's so wrong. All right, Microsoft's apparently laying the hammer down. The hammer!
The hammer!
They're perma-banning people who are playing pirated copies of Forza 3 and Borderlands. Did they get Major Nelson? He's been playing Forza for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I doubt his is pirated.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, apparently Borderlands, which I don't understand why 2K did this. Borderlands showed up in stores on Monday. Last week.
Yeah.
What the hell? It's not like this is Halo, okay?
Right.
Just fucking sell it.
Yeah. I'm jacked up for Borderlands.
Did you watch the giant bomb quick look?
No.
It looks pretty good.
I'm jacked up for it.
Why don't you ask Professor Chaos? He's already like halfway through the game.
Like I said, I'm a loot whore, and any game that promises me that many guns, even if they're similar, I don't care. I just want to gather stuff. So I'm really, 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 really excited. And 4-player co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really jacked up.
I think it was funny because Boogeyman was like, you won't like it, it's Fallout as an actual shooter. And I go, that was my problem with Fallout, is it wasn't a shooter. I liked everything else about it. I just didn't like the fact that it wasn't a shooter. So there you go. There's a Loco Roco Midnight Carnival coming out October 29th on the PSN.
Loco Roco.
It's going to be dark.
Yeah.
It takes place in the midnights.
Nighttime.
In a proof.
I wonder if it will be as racially insensitive as the first one was.
Loco Roco was racially insensitive?
Yeah, you don't remember the minor controversy because the enemies were not racially sensitive. That's really all I want to say about it. There was a minor controversy about it.
I don't remember it. I must have blocked it out.
You'll have to look it up. It was silly.
All right. And proof that digital download's not going to be there. Bitches. Nippon Ichi says they'll release a bad Holy Invasion of Privacy Batman on UMD if they can get 1,000 pre-orders, which they've had a lot of people asking for. A UMD version. Super Street Fighter 4 is apparently listed at $40 and releases on March 23rd.
Yeah,
which is a sweet deal.
That's a pretty good price.
If you never bought the original. If you bought the original, this makes it moot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you trade it in now, you go without Street Fighter for 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you wait till then, and it's worth $2. So,
true.
That kind of sucks. They should give, like, a trade-up. At least make it worth, like, 10 or 15.
Well, At least it's not back in the old Super NES days.
Yeah, where you had to pay full price.
Where you had to pay full price for each iteration.
Hey, if I was grown up and spending my own money, I'd have bitched back then, too, okay?
Yeah. But at least it's a quote-unquote budget title.
It is a budget title, I guess.
Yeah.
New Lost Winds, winner of Melodious, is coming this Monday, which apparently they're going to send me a code for.
And I heard it's a really good game.
The first one I heard was a really good game. I never got a chance to play it, so I'm actually excited to play this.
Yeah.
The new SOCOM DLC pack is coming, and it sounds incredible. It's $15, comes with new maps, new music, new characters, new weapons, and a new progression system.
So in other words, it's almost a sequel built into a DLC.
Yeah, it's got new snow areas with new effects, new camo, 5 new maps, new mercenary characters. I mean, it's just tons of stuff. Gun turret placements. And it's just ridiculous. For $15.
Yeah, it literally sounds like you're turning the game into a part two.
Yeah, that's an awesome DLC for $15. That's how you do DLC for $15.
Yeah.
And another hilarious thing that just cracks me up is why Sony can't get streamlined across the board. Third parties are not required to put PSP games on the PSN. So not only are PSP old users not able to upgrade, but now PSP Go only owners may not have access to every game. Which is just awesome. Yeah.
They're not required to, but it seems like most of them would want to.
Yeah, no doubt.
To capitalize on the Go owners that exist.
Well, don't you think everybody's pissed off anyway? What about PSP 2? What's up?
Thing is, I'm going to pimp out a podcast
here. Hey, come over here and bend over.
I'm going to pimp out a podcast here for a couple minutes.
Pimp it, brother.
The Geek Box, they had a special guest on there.
Sounds like a nerd porno.
Thing is, some of the crew, some of the people that are on the show are former 1UP employees.
Wow.
And it's a really good show. It actually takes place in a comic book store, which is kind of neat. But
dude, that is a Geek Box.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a special guest on, I think it's their newest episode, and he was just going off on the PSP Go, and I agree with everything he said about it. He pretty much said it's the only, one of the only, like, upgrades to an electronic product that every single change is a detriment to the consumer and an advantage for Sony.
Basically, it's no steps forward for the consumer. And
exactly. It's like an anti-piracy device, smaller screen, more cramped controls.
No access to every game.
Yeah. And he just started going on and on about all these things. The analog stick being in the middle of the control. So the analog stick's not even positioned as well. So
I'm actually glad I resisted my temptation to go out and buy one, and I kept my 3000.
Me too.
So, as we mentioned earlier, Mass Effect 2 date is confirmed, January 26th. Lots of pre-order bonuses, of course, as it always happens.
That's going to be an awesome title.
Yeah. Really, really, really excited.
Hilarious story coming out. A postal worker apparently stole 2,000 Gamefly games in the Pennsylvania area.
That's just hilarious. I love the picture of the Hamburglar that's up on the site.
Yeah, that was just, I read that and I posted because I know Frustrated Fury was pissed because he hadn't got a game in a while.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
I posted to him, I was like, this might have been what happened to your game. Maybe your postal guy's a dick too.
He was going to steal 4,000, but one of the ones he stole was Uncharted, and he had so much fun playing it, he just forgot to steal the rest of them.
That's how he got caught.
Yeah. They found him playing Uncharted down the road.
Nintendo announces a new Pokemon game for the Wii.
Wii!
Feature Pikachu and a theme park with mini games. Imagine that.
Oh, imagine that.
It's called Poke Park.
No, it's not.
Yes,
is it really called Poke
it's
Park?
It's called Poke Park.
Wow. Pokey Park.
The Queen 10-pack is launching on Rock Band next week, so that's definitely one of the better DLCs that we've seen for Rock Band in a while, which is pretty awesome. I guess Offspring and Blink-182 will be on Rock Band Unplugged. So apparently the free-to-play Dungeons & Dragons Online is seeing hundreds of thousands of new players.
They made it free to play? I didn't even know that.
Yep, free to play, hundreds of thousands of new users. Apparently, Nintendo says that they will be in step with HD technology. A little too late for that, brother.
Yeah, you're way out of step.
we're going to 3D now.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
With the blue and red glasses.
Yeah.
Like we had with Rad Racer on the original NES.
And Nintendo was ahead of the game.
They were ahead of the game.
Back then.
A blur
is appearing in Lego Rock Band.
Which is kind of funny.
Which is another thing I forgot to mention in my fondling. I did play Band Hero.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And what's the verdict?
It's Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I was about to say, what's the difference?
I guess this one will be... It's very geared, obviously, the song list for, like, family play and stuff.
Okay.
But I guess you can import all the songs, so I guess this can be the definitive version. So I guess Guitar Hero 5 was just, like, a song track pack? I don't know. Here's something that blew up the internet.
Yeah.
Apparently they've already announced the first DLC for Borderlands. Wait a minute. It's not out
it's
yet.
It's not even out yet.
It's $10. It's called The Zombie Island of Dr. Ned. Okay. So we already got an announcement for something that's not even there. Apparently a new Zone of the Enders is a high priority for Kojima Productions.
Yes. Yes.
I thought his high priority would be finished the two Metal Gear games that he just announced.
I imagine it's going to be high priority after he finishes the two Metal Gear games that he just announced.
I, for one...
They're working right now on trying to make the two new Metal Gear games as incomprehensible as possible.
What's incomprehensible is how they made a sequel to Zone of the Enders.
I liked Zone of the Enders.
I liked the first one.
I didn't play the second one.
The
second one was awesome, man.
I didn't play the second one, so I can't comment.
One,
I did love the first one.
First one I liked.
The first one I will legitimately admit to buying solely for the Metal Gear 2 demo.
Everybody did.
I will legitimately admit to that.
It was the Crackdown before Crackdown.
But you know what? I actually bought Crackdown for the game before announced that it was going to be with the beta. I was excited for it. But Zone of the Enders I bought specifically for the Metal Gear demo and ended up really, really, really liking the game. So I'd like to play a new one.
Man... Can you imagine how that's going to look this gen?
I wonder if it's just going to be PS3.
I don't know.
Considering
I don't
know. Metal Gear is on both, so yeah. I'm kind of curious. Zone of the Enders is like such a niche game, though.
Yeah. I imagine he'll leave it PS3 exclusive, I would think.
It is a niche title, but what if it had multiplayer?
I pray it's on Xbox. It's not a fanboy statement. I just like Xbox Live better.
Or at least multi-console. But I'd be...
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah. I know it's going to be on PS3.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously.
But, yeah, I cannot wait for New Zone Avengers.
I think it would stay exclusive. I think. But
and
I
that's
know.
Fine. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I can play it either way. But I'll have to see if I get excited about it, because I didn't like the second one.
Wow, hold on. Do you really own the Haunted Mansion on Xbox?
You ever played it?
No.
It's excellent.
Really?
It really looked stupid, but it was excellent. It really is. Oh, yeah, Brian told me about it when he played it, and he was like, you would not believe how actually good it is.
Huh.
Trust me, I had no interest.
I'd never noticed it on your little shelf over there.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I was like, you gotta be shitting me. A Disney game based on a movie that sucked?
That sucked.
I'm like, you gotta tell me this is good, but it is actually really good. Huh. It shocked me. No Baldur's Gate camera angle for the Dragon Age on consoles.
Yeah.
So, none of that
that's
over...
Kind of, that's
over.
Kind of a shame, but, I mean, you make some sacrifices.
And we just talked about PSP Go bending people over. I know this upset a lot of people that they announced a 250-gig PS3 Slim. People aren't pissed that they announced it. People are pissed that they announced it after 120-gig was put on the shelf and everybody went out and bought it. And now for $50 more, which is a steal, $349.99, 250-gig... PS3 Slim. Incredible deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost as good a deal as the Call of Duty bundle for the 360.
It's a good deal. I know people will say, well, you can put any laptop hard drive in it, but for an extra $50, you get twice the room and you don't have to open your PS3. So, that's a good deal.
For people who don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And what about all those people that went out and just bought 120 gig and they're like, oh, I've got the top of the line. And then like a week later, like somebody's like, no, you don't. We're waiting on next week when the 500 gig is announced. Rockstar announces some PSP legacy games coming to the PSN store.
Really?
Midnight Club and GTA, going to be downloadable games.
Hmm.
Which GTA?
Looks like two, I think. GTA Vice City Stories, GTA Liberty City Stories, GTA Chinatown Wars, and The Warriors, and Beaterator.
Huh. Beaterator.
Beaterator.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm very excited to play Chinatown Wars on the PSP. I heard it was really good on the DS.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Apparently Microsoft's not concerned with the PS3 and the Wii price cuts.
Hmm.
You should
yeah.
be.
Yeah, they should be. You should be.
Apparently the Naughty Dog developer accidentally confirmed PS3 cross-game voice chat. It's going to be in the next firmware update.
Yay.
So another leaked Sony story. Sony's the new Microsoft.
Yeah.
They can't keep anything
in. They can't keep anything in.
This picture is awesome, but the Ballad of Gay Tony multiplayer shows like a bunch of people skydiving. And it,
awesome.
It just looks awesome. Apparently Nvidia is powering the next gen Nintendo DS.
Interesting. Which will probably release next year, and then they'll release the DS2i the year after that, and then the DS2i Slim the year after that. Fucking Nintendo, man.
But you know what? People just keep buying it. And in sad news.
Yeah, in sad news.
The original live-action Mario, Captain Lou Albano, passed away this week.
Yep.
Sad.
So you need to
do the Mario.
Do the Mario. You need to go to YouTube and watch the end credits to the original Super Mario Brothers show.
And do the Mario in memoriam.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It was a sad week.
Yes.
And there's Gabe Newell.
Gabe Newell, apparently the Left 4 Dead boycott comes to an end.
Looks like a meatball. And apparently has a stain on his shirt.
I know. It's from eating people.
It looks like stomach sweat.
Final Fantasy XI Ultimate Collection is coming in November. Does anybody still play this?
You have a friend that still plays this. What are you talking about?
I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people over in Korea that are still playing it.
Yeah, well, they're releasing this in preparation for Final Fantasy XIV, I guess.
I did not enjoy Final Fantasy XI.
I think I'll just skip XI and go straight to XIV if I was ever going to play it. Because I heard that 14 is supposed to be a lot more streamlined and a lot much more user-friendly MMO experience than 11 was.
I'll tell you what. This just goes to show how, like, people pay way too much attention to little things.
Uh-huh.
The fact that in the credits to Uncharted 2, when you beat the game, that Naughty Dog thanks Bungie. And everybody made a big deal about that. Yeah,
right.
That made news. Fuck that. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Well, you know what's funny to me about it is that you've got...
It's not like
You've
Naughty Dog
these...
is America and Bungie is Russia in the Cold War or something. They're allowed to be friends.
Yeah.
What cracks me up is that you've got the 360 fanboys on one side and the PS3 fanboys on the other, and they hate each other.
I know.
Like, you'll never find one saying good things about the other, and yet the developers that work exclusively on the consoles are good friends and share technology back and forth.
Yeah.
And always talk about how awesome their games are. So that should just go to tell you, if you're a raving lunatic fanboy, how ridiculous you're being.
Yeah. It's like, if Bungie and Naughty Dog can go out and shoot hoops together and talk about their games together and learn from each other. Come on. Kojima went to Infinity Ward.
Right.
And he loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves their military expertise and all that stuff, and he learned a lot of stuff for MGS4. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. These guys do it all the time.
The fans are the ones who create the animosity. There's no animosity in the actual industry, with the exception of people like Aaron Greenberg, who I think may have been dropped on his head as a child and has some form of learning disability. there's really no animosity between these developers.
No, they all like each other.
They appreciate good games just like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. EA Sports announced another arcade game. This time it's going to be Madden NFL Arcade. It's 5-on-5, all 32 teams, and it looks like the Wii game. So apparently the Wii version was $50. For this one, you get it for $20.
So, wow, interesting.
Yeah, so Wii owners am screwed again.
It might be something to look into.
Microsoft's reportedly using ATI as their GPU for the next Xbox, which I don't even want to talk about the next Xbox.
Yeah.
Black Wii remotes hit stores this week. On November 16th.
Those look pretty cool.
Yeah, they do.
Comes bundled with Motion Plus for
$49.99.
Damn, how much is a nunchuck? $19.99, so that's a $70 controller.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Apparently Sucker Punch is recasting Cole for the Infamous sequel.
Really?
So that's kind of weird.
That is a little weird.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's some bad blood there, or if they just feel like somebody else would do it better.
Apparently, Gamefly and the United States Postal Service are locked in a legal battle.
Wow, I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that Gamefly doesn't send you shit.
A Clash of the Titans game is coming from Namco Bandai and Game Republic, and it's going to be in conjunction with the remake of the movie next year.
Interesting.
We haven't even played Assassin's Creed 2, but apparently the third game may feature a female assassin.
Interesting. During World War II,
during
really?
World War II.
That
yeah.
would be kind of cool.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, sounds like, what was that,
Violet. Velvet Assassin.
Velvet yeah. Assassin, that's
Velvet
what it
Velvet Assassin, yeah.
Apparently BioWare would love to revisit Jade Empire.
I would love for them to revisit Jade Empire.
So would a lot of their fans.
Yeah.
RPG Maker's coming to the DS.
Interesting.
That cool. should be weird. WoW will require a Battle.net login starting November 11th, so if you don't have a Battle.net account...
Get one.
You'll have to get one. Ready at Dawn announces a new game engine. If you're not familiar with them, they're the guys that made God of War on the PSP.
They're the guys that made the impossible possible yeah. on PSP. Because God of War looks fantastic.
Artonelico 3 is coming. Namco Bandai Games announced it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I own the first two Artonelico games, and I think they're really good.
Apparently there may be a Queen rock band.
Wow. According to Brian May.
Yeah.
That's, Nintendo President Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Fils-Aimé!
Wants to know, who the hell does the PSP go for?
It is for Sony. That's who it's for.
That's Tokyo Game Show. I think we're back.
Back.
Whatever.
Whatevs.
Whatever. Yeah, I think we're too far back now. Yeah, I think I'm going to go over to the new releases.
All right, new releases. New releases.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
New releases, everybody.
We got a lot of titles coming out this week. Apparently, EverQuest 2, the complete collection, is coming out this week. FIFA Soccer is due out this week for everything across the board. NBA 2K10 for the Wii. Are you going to say after everything I say? Space Invaders Extreme 2.
Whoa.
Okay, that's kind of creepy.
Thing is, man, I think I'm going to have to pick that game up.
Alien Monster Bowling League for the Wii.
That might be the coolest game title of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alien Monster Bowling League.
Astro Boy is shipping for the PS2, Wii, PSP, and DS.
But, unfortunately, it's not the treasure game.
No.
Oh.
Backyard Football. 2010 ships for the Wii, the PS2, and 360.
Backdoor Football.
Bakugan.
The newest Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh! Fad.
Yeah, I saw a big display of this at Walmart, and I had to go over and look at it, because I know I'm going to have to review it, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
It's coming out for everything as well. PS2, DS, 360, PS3, and Wii.
Wow.
Another collector's edition for DS. Of course, Borderlands hits this week. PS3 and 360. Sweet nectar. Charm Girls... Fashion Club and... Charm Girls Club Fashion Mall and Fashion Show.
Yes. I know Gambus was looking forward to those. Oh, and Pajama Party.
He's looking forward to Pajama Party. Ugh. And I swear to God, I thought this said Charm Girls Club Perfect Porn.
No, Perfect Prom.
That's for the DS. The Pajama Party's for the Wii, though, so waggle
you
your Pajama
you
Party.
You can waggle your Wii at their Pajama Party.
Actually, you can have a pillow fight.
Ugh.
You could be a pillow biter. Anyway.
Wow.
Cooking Marmar 3.
Marmar? Cooking Marmar.
Marmar.
Shop and Chop.
Wow.
Dance Dance Revolution Hottest Party 2 for the Wii.
It's the hottest party.
Diner Dash Flow on the Go. That just sounds nasty.
Wow.
And so does this one. Dragon Ball Revenge of King Piccolo for the Wii. FIFA Soccer for everything else. Grand Theft Auto Chinatown War ships this week. iCarly for the Wii and the DS. God, this shit is just pouring out.
I am so sick of Disney crap.
Imagine Fashion Designer World Tour.
Wow.
And Jillian Michaels Fitness Ultimatum 2010 for the DS.
What?
I'm not kidding.
What?
Lips.
How do you have a fitness game for the DS?
You run with it.
Make your hands fit? What the?
Lips number one hits for the 360 comes out this week.
I saw that on the marketplace, and this may be old. I don't know. It just popped up yesterday. They have now Return of the Mac available for Lips,
nice.
Which just makes me laugh.
Nice. Littlest Pet Shop Barrage. We have Littlest Pet Shop Beach for the DS, City Friends
Beach?
For the DS, and Country Friends for the DS.
Country Friends and City Friends, Littlest Pet Shop.
And Just Friends for the Wii.
Just Friends.
And Madagascar Cards.
Oh, God.
Comes out for...
Are we really... We really going back to the cart well, huh?
PS3, Wii, and 360, and DS.
Hey,
and it comes with a wheel.
We've got this Madagascar property that we bought up, but there's no new movie coming out. What should we do? Fuck it, let's make a cart game. Everybody else does it.
Speaking of cart games, did you see that the new Sega Sonic Racers game has Ryo from Shinmue
driving a forklift
and a motorcycle? I'm like, dude, he's a whore.
That's hilarious.
He is such a whore. This is the closest Shenmue fans will get to Ryo for the rest of their lives.
It's funny because controlling him in the game is actually a disadvantage because he stops every 5 seconds and asks people about the five voodoo.
Marvel Superhero Squad comes out this week for the Wii, PS2, PSP, and DS, and it looks like shit.
Yeah. It looks like what you would expect.
Yeah.
Medieval games for the Wii.
Medieval games comes out.
So now you can joust your friends.
MotorStorm Arctic Edge for the PS2 now with less visual appeal comes out this week. Mountain Sports.
Mountain Sports for the Wii.
For the Wii. It's $40
Oh, wow. Yeah, but it's Mountain Sports,
dude. I don't give a shit. Make a game called Water Sports. That'll sell for somebody. Mytran Wars for the PSP. I don't even know what the hell that is.
I don't know what that is.
And Secret Saturdays, Beasts of the Fifth Sun.
I thought that said Breasts of the Fifth Sun.
That's for the PS2 and the DS.
I was about ready to get excited.
Yeah, Gambus was going to buy that.
The Wii and the PSP, I don't even know what the hell that is, but it looks weird.
It's a Secret Saturday, dude.
Tropico 3 comes out for PC. Oh, here it is, Water Sports Wi-Fi.
Well, see, there you go.
That's growth.
And guess what system that's on?
The Wii. SmackDown vs. Raw 2010 for the PS3, 360.
For everything.
PSP, PS2, Wii, and DS. And a strategy guide. There you go.
Yay.
And Nostalgia comes out for the DS. Just in case you needed some nostalgia.
That's supposed to be pretty good.
And Star Wars Force Unleashed Ultimate Sith Edition for the PC. And that's new releases for the week. By God, there's a lot of crap.
A lot of crap.
And some gems intermixed.
Yes.
Well, there's some good games in there. Yeah. But, man, iCarly and Littlest Pet
Shop. If I had a dollar for every Imagine game that exists.
Imagine crap.
I could do this podcast full time and not actually have a job.
That'd be sweet.
Oh.
That'd be sweet. All right, now we're going to go to some questions. First one comes from Sam in Seattle.
Hello.
What's up?
Says, I just got my first platinum trophy.
Woo-hoo!
It was in Uncharted.
Yay.
Now he's working on Uncharted 2, just enjoying the game first, though, not rushing its awesomeness just for the trophies.
Indeed.
I know you guys aren't the biggest Bad Company fans. Could you explain why? Bad Company was my first PS3 game when I knew so little about what good games the PS3 had, and I absolutely loved it. The destruction really made it for me. Being able to blow up a wall and then shoot the guy behind it using cover was just awesome. After seeing videos of Bad Company 2, specifically this one, and he links a video, I am really stoked for this game, almost as much as Modern Warfare 2. What are your guys' thoughts on the Bad Company 2 in comparison to Modern Warfare 2?
I'll be 100% honest. I was in the beta for Bad Company 1, and I wasn't sold on the beta, so I never bought the full version. So I can't comment on the quality of the full version. I just... I wasn't sold on the fun factor of the multiplayer beta. It's one of those games where I can't really knock anything about it. It just didn't do it for me.
What I didn't like about the single player of the first one was the fact that the enemies never miss, and they always know where you are.
Yes.
That
yes.
drove me up a fucking wall.
I played the demo of that game, and that was the part that really, really pissed me off. Was them knowing where you were. You're like, oh, I'm about ready to sneak up on this guy. No.
He knows you're there.
He knows you're there.
I mean, that was really, I love the visuals, I love the gameplay, I love the idea, I love the destruction, I really like the game, but that difficulty of the enemies always knowing where I was just pissed me off.
And the thing is, the demo, like the little bit of the narrative that you got in the demo.
I was just waiting on that to happen.
I actually kind of thought that the characters in the game, you know, even though they were pretty silly characters, I thought it was entertaining as a, you know, as like a narrative.
Oh no, it's everything about the game is great, other than that little flaw and the fact that my teammates are stupid.
Yeah,
they don't do anything. They just stand there and like out in the open get shot. And the healing system drove me nuts because you had to like switch over to your needle and keep stabbing yourself every 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's like the your friend's AI, bunch of idiots, but at the same time, the enemy AI was like freaking Stephen Hawking on steroids.
Wow. And not in a wheelchair.
Okay. All right. I may be incorrect on one of these dates, but aren't Mod Nation Racers, Gran Turismo 5, God of War 3, Alan Wake, Crackdown 2, Bioshock 2, Splinter Cell Convention, and Alpha Protocol all coming out in February or March? Because that's ridiculous.
Bioshock 2, that was another game that we forgot Mod Nation Racers and Alan Wake too.
I mean, come on.
Alan Wake, I don't know if it's coming out in that. I don't know that game's ever coming out, if I'm being honest with you.
It's coming out. Crackdown 2, I doubt, is going to be out in February.
I imagine that'll get pushed to April.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as of right now, I think that's correct. I think all those games are slated to come out right in that time frame. If not in those 2 months, then in at least the 2 months preceding or following it. So yeah, it's going to be a busy-ass first half of the year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a definite contradiction compared to the last couple years.
You know what would be messed up? If the first half of the year actually dwarfed the second half of the year.
It looks like it might, is the thing. I mean, there's strong potential for it, too.
Wouldn't that be...
By God, but we haven't even seen what hasn't been announced for next year.
Yeah.
That would be a very, very bizarre situation if the first half of the year had better releases than the second half.
I don't know. I think some of the stuff will get pushed to the second half. All right. Next
question. You know what I think would be funny is if Activision purposely delayed Modern Warfare to the first half of next year just to fuck with people. Like, oh, you guys delayed all your shit till next year, huh? Watch this. Now we're releasing it in February. Fuck you all. Run from us now.
Run to the hills. Okay, I'm the only one that knows Maiden. Anyway.
All right.
Next question comes from, I'm going to try to pronounce it as he has it in his signature, M.Q. Rouse.
That was M.Q. Rose.
M.Q. Rose?
I think so. M.Q. Rose.
M.Q. Rose.
M.Q. Rose, I think it's out. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just going to call him Quiznos.
Wow.
I mean, that sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Dude, Quiznos does sound delicious.
See, there you go.
Sounds super delicious.
Super delicious, Quiznos.
He says, hey guys, I wanted to know your opinions on the subject of questionable content in gaming. Mm. What I don't understand is how we in America can play an uber-violent game, every uber-violent game on the planet, yet some people lose their damn minds when they find out some tits or something show up in a game. I personally find it as no difference. Both are mature themes and should only be viewed and played by adults. Anyway, so why do you think all the people get bent out of shape for nudity or swearing even? I also notice there's quite a double standard when this standard transfers over to movies. Honestly, what's the difference? What's the difference from us and, say, Japan? I don't view the fact that you play out games and merely watch movies as a real difference. Exposure is exposure, in my opinion. Adults can watch adult movies with no real issue, but the ESRB will flex their muscle every time, any kind of nudity, and give the dev a hard time. I thought this would be an interesting topic for the show.
Hmm.
I also have another question, but I'll save it for later because this question took me forever to spit out.
Yeah, I'll agree. I don't really see the difference in nudity or violence. I think both of them are. I think, in fact, probably, honestly, violence is probably worse than nudity.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, for one reason or another, in America, we're more sensitive about nudity than we are violence. There are other places around the world where they're more sensitive about violence than nudity.
Germany,
Germany being one. So it's just, you know, for one reason, that's the way the moral compass spins in this part of the world. But, I mean, honestly, the biggest part of the reason that games get criticized for that more than movies do is that, to be quite honest, a lot of people who don't play games still view games as kiddie stuff.
Yeah.
So they still think because it's for the children, even though, you know, the ESRB is made to prevent games like that from being sold to anyone under 17, the mass media views games as being for kids. And so they think, oh, look at the violence and nudity they're showing to our children, even though, you know, it's rated M for mature.
Yeah, like the sex box when Mass Effect came out.
Yeah, what a disaster.
Did you just say the sex box?
Yeah, that's the sex box scandal. That's what they...
That's what they nicknamed the Xbox.
Did they watch Family Guy?
No. Oh, but no. But that's funny. But,
this is my sex box, and her name is Sony.
But, yeah. The sex box scandal is a perfect example of
that.
Oh,
yeah, that was so dirty.
Yeah.
You got to see a butt.
You got to see half a butt. Not even a full butt.
And it was a blue butt, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just put it to you this way. In real life, if I have a choice,
Gambus likes boobies.
If I had a choice of seeing violence
or boobies,
I would pick the boobies every time.
I'm sure you would.
I'm sure you would.
What if you had violent boobies?
Wow, that's getting a little out of control.
They come out with like gnashing.
Although
teeth.
I'm not going to swear that that won't be an option in Bayonetta.
To have
violent boobies.
Dragon boobies?
Yeah, because that game seems to be completely patently ridiculous.
You heard about that one game, Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lust level.
I didn't hear about the level, no.
Yeah, the lust level is... it's going to be an M rating by that one level itself.
Interesting.
Well, considering that the trailer for the game shows like some topless chick like attacking you, I think it was M rated anyway.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's about hell probably is going to solidify.
Probably lends itself to a mature rating.
Yeah, it's going to be a little mature. A little mature.
But no, yeah, I am in agreement with you that there shouldn't be a difference in terms of classification between nudity and violence.
What happens if you cut off a booby?
Dude, that's disgusting. Move on.
I'm just saying.
That's disturbing.
I'd get banned everywhere.
That's incredibly disturbing.
Yeah.
Please move on.
I'd probably run and hide.
He'd run for the hills.
Dude, you are a giant booby. Let's go.
What?
Suck on that. Oh, wait.
Oh, snap. Oh. Anyways.
All right. We actually have a question. We got him back on the forums to ask a question. Frustrated Fury is on the forums.
Yes.
From the Evolve Gaming Network, which I really wanted to log on last night as they were all drunk watching a movie.
Interesting.
On Rage Quit Radio.
I still want to be on the show. It's a question of finding time. I promise you, though, I will find time eventually.
He says, hey, crew, Drew here from, well, you guys know, but I'm not going to plug it anyways.
We just plugged it for you.
Evolve
so you
Gaming
didn't have
Podcast
to.
And Rage Quit Radio on Justin TV. Anyway, I know I mainly talk to you guys on Twitter, but I figured I'd post a message the old-fashioned way.
Hey, there you go.
On your forums. Notice my post count. Yeah, kind of low, yet I've been a user here longer than most, even Cat, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting.
But enough talk. How about you?
Yes.
How about you?
Question one. If you were stranded on an island... Oh, never mind that one.
Yeah, you damn right never mind that one.
We wouldn't answer it anyway, you bastard. Question two, do you have any type of ritual that you do before you get into your gaming session? Jason, stop for a minute. Let me finish the question. Before you get into your gaming session, I personally can't play a game without first washing my hands. I know it sounds strange, but I can't handle a controller with greasy, dirty hands.
Jason has to wash his hands before he plays games, too, but that's for a different reason.
He has to wash his hands after he plays games. Yeah. And that's
depending
for an
on
obvious
the game.
Reason.
Yeah.
A ritual.
I had him in the bathroom before the show after playing Bayonetta. What's up?
Do you have a pre-game ritual?
No, but I can imagine someone like lighting candles or something.
Playing some Let's Get It On music.
Burning. I've been really trying, baby.
I thought about doing that before I played Uncharted 2. I was so excited to play that game.
Burning some incense.
I had to get the mood right.
Some Barry White.
This game is going to be awesome.
All right, that's a little creepy.
No. The only ritual I have is I get myself something to... If I'm going to be sitting down for like a long gaming session, I usually get myself something to drink, something to snack on just in case, and go for it. Just go for it.
Just go for it, man.
Yeah.
I have a special pair of shorts I wear. They're very comfortable.
Wow.
They don't have a hole in the crotch or anything.
It's still a little weird. Like, hold on, guys. Yeah, I'll play some Halo with you in just a second. Let me go put my right shorts on. let me get my gaming shorts on.
I have my gaming. That's what I call them.
Your gaming shorts?
My gaming shorts.
My gaming shorts.
My wife hates them. She keeps wanting to throw them away.
Well, that's the way it is. When you've got ratty old clothes, your wife always wants to throw them away.
It's like, why you wear that shit? I'm like, dude, these are comfortable.
I have so many clothes that my wife has asked me to throw away.
See, mine's actually thought about sneaking in and stealing
just
them.
Just stealing them and throwing them away.
What happened to my shorts? I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh.
Do you actually have any rituals, Gambus?
Not really.
No?
No.
That's the one area you're not weird in, huh?
If it's wintertime, maybe sometimes I'll...
put on a scarf?
I can just picture Gambus sitting in front of the TV with a scarf.
Yeah.
No, I
could see him sitting in front of the TV with a tissue box.
Might curl up under a Snuggie.
Yeah, put some covers on or something.
I could see him sitting there with a tissue box, maybe not a scarf.
Oh, God.
Depends on the game.
It always does. If it's cold, what? I mean, we made a bunch of jokes about it, but I'm curious.
Covers.
You gonna get under the covers?
Just like a blanket or something?
Well, I'd look like I'm like dressed in a robe or something. Yeah.
All right. Next question. Everyone knows the famous special moves from Street Fighter and King of Fighters, such as Hadouken and Hurricane Uppercut.
Right.
I had invented a special move in high school called the Hyper Elbow.
Oh, nice.
Where I basically thrust my elbow into a person's face as I yell, Hyper Elbow!
You gotta yell it.
Because everyone knows you have to say
there
or
you
yell
go.
The name of the move as you're performing it.
There you go.
So what I would like you guys to do is create your own unique fighting special attack. What would you call it? How would you execute it? And most importantly, how would you yell it? Nutcracker!
Nutcracker, huh?
That's a cheap shot.
That's a really good question.
I was expecting
I'm a big fan of the elbow as well. I'm a big fan of the old elbow or the knee to the face.
Tiger knee!
Kind of thing. I'm a big fan of that. And then just, like... Knee your fucking face off!
Holy cow. You almost destroyed his floor.
I think he went through and just hung out on the bottom. Knee your fucking face off. I don't think that'd be M-rated.
Knee your fucking face off!
Well, thing is...
Elbow you in the dick!
Butt scratch up!
Couple years ago, I was...
Oh, good.
I was...
collapse your throat with my fist!
Couple years ago, I was writing a, I was beginning to write a science fiction novel that had a lot of fighting
and sex.
No, it didn't have any sex in it.
Girl on girl,
no sex in the champagne room.
And there was a attack.
I think that was his vampire novel.
There was an attack where a character would actually do a flip and like kick somebody three times as they're doing a flip. And
that's impossible.
No, here's the thing. It looks like they ran up the other person's body, and when they flip completely over and land, they finish it off with a punch. So it's like a four attack as a person flips. It was kind of a weird thing I was kind of like messing around with in terms of like fight and style. But if I had to use it, I would call it the Gambus Justice.
The Gambus Justice.
I'd be like, Gambus Justice!
Dude, I would pay money to see you backflip on a person.
I would pay money to see you backflip, period.
I'd probably...
Let me rephrase that. I'd pay money to see you attempt.
Yeah. Hell, I'd pay money just to see you yell Gambus Justice at somebody.
Just some random person walking down the street.
Gambus Justice!
Just walking down the street.
Gambus Justice!
They would be so scared.
Yeah.
All right, next question. I want you to look to the person to your left and describe him.
No.
Damn it, you've answered that one a million times, too.
Yes, we have.
And yes, I know I've used that joke once before, but it was like a year ago.
Well...
All right, we'll move on.
Give it another year.
Yeah, we'll do it again in a year. Question five, because I podcast, and to be honest, you guys were one of the inspirations for me to start the hobby to begin with.
Oh, wow.
I want to know what got you into podcasting internet radio to begin with. I know Zero had a show before, ZT Game Domain Podcast, and I think Gambus may have helped out with a little. I can't really remember.
Yeah, ZT. Yeah.
That old radio show.
ZTGD. Remember that song that I sang?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
That was a great... I still have that on CD.
You do?
We totally need to put that on the show.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
The song is basically, I play the guitar, and we used a drum machine to do the drums, and Gambus sang this song that he wrote, and there's profanity in it.
Wow.
And Gambus sings it, and he had no rhythm, so he didn't know when to stop each line.
Yeah.
So while I was having him record the vocals, I had to, point at him. Stop here. Stop here. Stop here. And the song is just awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, I sing a part of it, too, and it's terrible. It's before I learned that you had to have harmony, and I just sound... I sound like I'm trying to impersonate Creed or something. Uh-huh. I'm like, Creed, but Gambus's lines, there's no harmony, there's no rhythm, they're just awesome.
Yeah, you should put that on the show at some
point. I should find that disc and rip it out and put it on there. But yeah, that's we used to do the radio show, and what was crazy was the first radio show that we did, we actually recorded separately. Yeah. I recorded my lines, and then he recorded his over top of mine.
Wow.
So figure that out.
And it was pretty cool because it was like an internet radio, and it was always like...
It's always played.
It was always playing.
And we put video game music in the rotation, too.
Yeah, which was awesome.
In between the shows, we would have video game music playing.
And we actually had, like, skits.
Yeah, we had lots of skits, like the Pokeballs. We had people call into the studio.
Yeah, it was fake call-ins.
Yeah, fake phone calls. People like, called in.
Hello, this is Larry.
I want to know if you guys will jiggle my Pokeballs.
Wow.
It was the one skit was like, you guys like games? Yeah. You guys like video games? Yeah. You like seeing your grandmother in the tub naked? Ew. I mean, they were just terrible skits, but they made us laugh hysterically.
No, that's all that counts. Yeah.
And then we got carried away on one show and got banned from the radio.
Nice.
Because we just kept making the same joke, like kind of like we do now.
Yeah, kind of like we do now, only we can't get banned.
Unfortunately, it was an offensive joke.
Oh, interesting. So probably not a joke you could make right now.
Well, I can tell you the other name for them is Inuits, but we just kept running that one into the ground, the other word.
Yeah.
And then we ran the one joke into the ground, which was laid back. With my mind on my money and my money on my... We did that for like 2 hours on a show.
Wow. That sounds terrible. So wait a minute. You said the word Eskimo? And you got in trouble for saying Eskimo?
We used it a lot, and not in good ways all the time.
Oh, gotcha.
Wow.
And Gambus was very perverted back then.
Yes. I was going through my...
I wish I had archives of those shows.
Man, you could blackmail me with those.
I can blackmail you with the song, because you say the F word like 3 times.
Yeah, that was back when I was...
He was drinking and swearing like a sailor.
Yeah.
Man, that was Gambus's formative years.
I'm telling you.
That was the Dreamcast era.
That was before he went into rehab. That's before he found Jesus.
And as far as how I got involved, they had stopped doing the podcast, but Ken, you were relaunching your site, weren't you?
Yes.
It was after I had worked with Ken at EB, and he had asked me if I wanted to write reviews for the site. So I started writing reviews for the site, and then actually I may have still been working at EB when you relaunched it.
I can't. You know, it's been so long ago since we relaunched it that I can't even remember.
And then eventually, you know, after we had written some reviews and stuff, he said he wanted to he wanted to start a podcast. So I said, all right, let's do it. And we did the first couple podcasts in my living room.
With one microphone.
Huddled around one stationary microphone.
Yeah. We kept beating on the table and you could hear it in the show.
So.
Yeah, the show has definitely evolved.
Genesis of the.
And can
at that point, it was the ZTGD podcast. And then.
Can you believe that we are one of the longest running podcasts?
On the net.
On the net that hasn't died.
Interesting.
So. 3 years.
To be.
Yeah.
More than 3 years now.
Yeah.
Almost three years and 2 months.
Yeah.
We've been kicking this.
We're going to hit our 200th episode next year.
Yep. It's fucking crazy,
yeah.
Dude.
How about that?
Started out huddled around, as I mentioned, huddled around a stationary microphone in my living room.
With five listeners.
With less than that, dude, let's be honest. So when we started out saying only seven people were listening to the show,
that
we were over exaggerating.
That was optimistic.
So
yeah, I think I was one of them.
Well, yeah, you still are.
You still are.
Yeah.
So, but that was it. Was me, Gambus, Ken, and Killer Wolverine.
Killer Wolverine was there,
he left us for a long time. And then he came back.
And now he's not here to talk about it.
And now he's not here to talk about it.
He's too busy spending his gas money on Uncharted.
And I actually, fun fact, I actually missed the third ever recording of the podcast.
Yes, you did.
And they recorded it in a garage.
Yeah.
So, that was the mirror, not me.
Like, damn.
So, yeah. And at the beginning, only the people who've been listening since show one realize that at the beginning we did not record every week. In fact, we were on a schedule that you might refer to as lax when it comes to recording the podcast. I think we did one, and then we did another one like 3 weeks later.
And then we do it like 2 days later.
And then we did another one 2 days later. It was
very spontaneous.
Yeah, it was very, it was spotty.
Yeah.
It would be the best word for it.
Oh, but it was
so. Anytime we say, "Hey guys, there's not going to be a podcast this week," and you get upset about it, just realize it could be much, much worse.
It could be like, well, we might have one sometime.
I don't know if there's going to be a podcast this month.
So. That's a good time. That was good times.
It was.
We had a lot of fun, and it's turned into something more. And I think we need to get back more to being fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because that's why people like.
You know
us.
What? I miss a lot of the old. Some of the old segments that we used to do, like even not so old stuff, like Preview the Review that we used to do.
Yeah.
Top
10 lists.
Top 10 lists. Yeah, we used to have a top 10 list every week. I kind of miss some of that stuff.
I want to do more of that stuff.
Like have an actual subject matter to talk about.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we always had a theme. Like instead of just doing what we do now where we kind of do the fondling, and then we kind of do the news, and then we kind of do the questions. We had, like, every week we had, like, an editorial segment where we would kind of discuss a specific topic.
We got into some heated arguments about the Wii before it came out.
We did get into some heated arguments about everything. But, I mean, honestly, our format, you know, can be run as much by you guys as it is by us. So if there's stuff that we used to do that you want us to do again or stuff that we don't do that you want us to do, all it takes is dropping a line, and if we can work it in, we'll work it in.
We can definitely rearrange the segments.
Yeah.
We can definitely take out what you don't like.
And put in what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unless, of course, taking out what you don't like includes all of us, and putting in what you do includes, I don't know, a whole bunch of people that used to work at 1UP.
Well, then, what? I don't know what's going on. Anyway, we got to move on to the next question. Question 6, Zero, you do realize that you totally stole my idea for the video gameplay stuff from Rage Quit Radio, don't you? I'm waiting for my check in the mail.
I think he's referring to your breaking the seal stuff.
Yeah, which I haven't done in ages, because everything keeps crashing and I'm getting sick and tired of it. So I stole it and I gave it back, so fuck your check. Check yourself, there's your check.
So he didn't really steal it.
I kind of borrowed it for a week.
Yeah.
All right. Question 7, this has probably been asked before, but if you could go back and experience a game fresh, without any memory or knowledge of it, what game would it be? For me, Metal Gear Solid. Somehow I never guessed that Miller was... Oh, by the way, spoiler.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Spoiler
I never guessed that Miller was really Liquid in disguise, and when he revealed himself, I was totally shocked. That moment was one of the standouts for me in gaming.
Now, Zero... I remember I was actually at your house when you played that exact same sequence, but it was in Japanese.
Yeah, I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
You're just like you're just talking to this guy, and he's like, "You konnichiwa."
Then he turns into Liquid Snake, and I'm like, "Oh snap!
Oh crap! He turned into Liquid." You know?
That's crazy. I don't even know who that dude is.
Yeah. He just talks a lot.
He's always fucking
talking. I
don't even
know what he's saying.
He won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah. it's kind of funny because both Zero and I's first experience with Metal Gear Solid was the Japanese version of Metal Gear Solid.
And it was still awesome.
And it was still awesome. Thing is, Zero was playing the game. I was just basically there I was watching him play the game. And I was just enthralled by what was going on, even though I didn't know what the heck they were talking about.
What you talking about, Willis?
But, what was he going
to
say?
I was just going to say, if I had to go back and experience, it would probably be the whole Legacy of Kain series. Because I love those games so much that I would love to play through them. And actually, Eternal Darkness, too, would be a good game to experience fresh. Especially if you didn't know about the, like, Sanity stuff. That would be pretty cool.
I'd like to. I'd have to go with Metal Gear. I'm sorry. So. I love that game so much that the first time I actually got the story, I'm like, oh, this is so awesome.
Yeah, I'd say that Metal Gear is up there with me as well. But I'd have to say that the first time that ZT and myself experienced Super Mario 64 at Toys R Us.
Toys R Us.
We went to that there Man. Toys R Us.
MR Ducks.
MR Ducks.
When they had
jolly good time.
Super Mario 64 playable.
We used to play Super Mario 64.
And this was like
again.
This was like what? It was like a whole month before the system even came out.
Indeed,
yeah. those kiosks were great too because you'd start playing it and then it would cut you off for time, and it would be like, "Thank you for playing Nintendo 64. Who's next?"
Me, bitch.
I'm playing again. Cut me off.
I remember that was pretty much the benchmark for gaming at that time.
Indubitably.
Yeah, I remember being wowed by Super Mario 64.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
Still a great game.
Still one of the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to move on. I know Gambus will have a lot to say on this topic. And once again, it's probably been asked before.
Probably.
But what game, in your opinion, has the best soundtrack?
Hmm.
We all love 8-bit tunes of yesteryear, and even some modern games have shined with fantastic musical scores. ODST and WET stand out to me. How about you guys?
Hmm.
Soundtracks?
Yeah.
Man, I still love the Mega Man 2.
Yeah. Mega Man 2 is my favorite.
Yeah.
That soundtrack was the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But I like modern stuff, too. I really love Harry Gregson-Williams' work in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yes.
Even though the game was fucked up, the music was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Especially the... I love the opening music to Metal Gear 2.
And even more modern, I swear to God, I love the music in Rocket Riot. That music is just awesome. It's so stupid. It's awesome.
I'm a big fan, too, of, number one, the Zelda series all has great music, especially Link to the Past.
Yep.
And also, I really love the music in Uncharted.
Music in Uncharted is excellent.
Yeah.
You know what music I love?
Really well done.
Was the Ridge Racer music.
Yeah.
That music was great.
Yeah.
I used to, especially the, there's a track in R4 that I absolutely just loved. I actually put it on a CD to listen to in my car. Just because I love the song so much.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the greatest video game related song of all time. Indestructible.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
If you're going to pick a... nobody you, break me down.
You got to pick a Capcom song. You got to pick a... I'm going to take you for a ride. That song.
I'm going to take you for a ride. No.
That was a great song, too.
All the music in that game was all jazzy and funky.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Great stuff. Ah, great music.
Yeah, I have to say...
I poop on it.
During, like, the 8-bit era, I was really into the Mega Mans and the Castlevanias.
Castlevania had good music.
Yeah. Also... enjoyed the music to the Dragon Warrior, a.k.a. Dragon Quest games at that time. And then into the 16-bit era of gaming, of course, the Final Fantasy II, Final Fantasy III, Chrono Trigger, And then once CD games started coming out, I was into the soundtrack to Wonders of Ease, Book 1 and 2 by Yasuo Koshiro, which he also did the Streets of Rage series and the Actorizer series, which had excellent music.
Mm-hmm. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom. But,
the end credit song to Metal Gear Solid is still one of my favorite songs. They play it in Metal Gear Solid 4 when you first get to, spoiler alert, Shadow Moses in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, yeah, the Metal Gear games in the PlayStation era.
Some great music out there.
Very, very high quality. I love the music, most of the music from the original Metal Gear Solid.
And you can't go without mentioning Halo.
Yeah, Halo's got great music.
Oh, my God, Halo is...
ODST has a new
feel. Yeah, I love ODST's music, that kind of jazzy style. It's very, very well done.
Yeah, I picked up the soundtrack to that and downloaded it on my iPod.
iPod.
And
You don't have a Zune? Oh, wait, nobody does.
You know what? You know what video game song gets stuck in my head all the... It's like the most out there song, but it gets stuck in my head all the time, is the main, like, opening title screen music for Excitebike on the NES. They're like...
You know what song gets stuck in my head all the time, and I don't know why, is the title screen from Croc, Legend of the Gobos.
That is a funny... Yeah.
Oh, Croc sucked.
That music, though, on the title screen was awesome. It just was. Oh, Croc and the Legend of the Gobos.
That's hilarious.
On a side note,
sad note.
Another soundtrack that I really, really enjoyed, ironically from an arcade game that is one of my favorite single player arcade games, is Capcom's Strider.
Oh, yes.
I loved the soundtrack to that game. Because the music had this really bizarre feel to it. It had this like real like synthesizer-y kind of like it was really bizarre because like half the game took place in like Russia, and I guess it was trying to be like kind of like Russian music but with synthesizer. So it was kind of this weird bizarre sound. But what was really cool about the overall soundtrack was that it wasn't just one music that was like playing consistent constantly. It was you would enter a part of the stage.
Oh, I'm just giving you background music, bitch. Don't stop.
You
would enter a part of the stage, and that specific section would have its own theme music. And you don't really see games doing that at all. It's basically just a music for this stage and a music for that stage. But with Strider, it was a music for specific sections.
Yeah. Honorable mention, by the way, for the You're About to Die music in Dragon Warrior. The
oh, yeah.
Sound like a bag of cats getting swung against the wall. That's honorable mention.
I think we're going to have to hold his last question until next week.
Yeah.
So we can do our Twitter shout-outs.
We're getting a little
We're getting deep.
Over.
But, yeah, we will come back to the question number 9 next week.
Number 9.
Which,
number 9.
And we got nine. Massive Twitter
shout-outs.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of them. Let's start down here at the beginning. We're a whole page.
Wow.
Altus1 says, so what did you guys think of the RTS stuff in Brutal Legend? And there better be some soundboard this episode.
No soundboard. But just to appease you, I'll go,
get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. You remember, Charlie, when I said I'd kill you last?
I lied.
There you go.
That's a tasty beverage, bitch. The RTS stuff, I guess, since I'm the only one who played it, is actually really cool. I really do like it. I think it's a very innovative way to change the game, but I totally think they should have put a different demo out there, because none of that's in the demo.
Right.
And people will be like, hey, wait a minute, I thought this was an action game. It's not. It's total RTS. Great stuff, though. Love it. You Expect Me to Talk says, hi, guys. Just saying hello every time I ask questions. Gambus goes on way too long. So keep it short. Hello.
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 Yeah, we're already running long, so that was probably a good move.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah. She never complained about running long.
Radio PM says, Uncharted 2 is awesome and loving it all, loving all it has to offer.
Absolutely. You ain't
kidding. Multiplayer, anyone? Definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Glad you guys are back. Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Altus One also says, oh, the soundtrack to Brutal Legend, what did you think that it missed? I personally expected some Metallica and Pantera. That was a shock that there was no Metallica and Pantera in there. Mm. But I think he was totally going for the older stuff, I think, except for there's some weird, obscure stuff on there. I actually did really dig the soundtrack, but I'm into heavy metal, so.
Gotcha.
Especially the fact that it plays with Mr. Crowley during one of the cutscenes from Black Sabbath or Ozzy.
Nice.
And that scene is awesome. Good stuff, though. Dylan MMC says, shout out to Naughty Dog. Uncharted 2 is amazing. Also, my apologies for the minor spoiler I wrote on Twitter.
That's okay.
I didn't see it.
Well, it's in response to the fact that I put out sort of a bulletin saying, hey, just so everybody knows, if I'm following you on Twitter and you post an Uncharted spoiler, I'm not going to be following you anymore until I beat the game. So once I beat the game, I will refollow anybody that I stop follow. I 100% promise. Like I said, there was no ill will in that. I just really don't want anything to be spoiled. So as soon as I beat the game, I will refollow anybody who I stopped following during that whole thing. Promise.
All right. Next question, or next shout out, comes from Shot Caller. He says, what it do, N4G crew? Shot Caller here playing Uncharted 2.
There you go.
This is the game of the year. Modern Warfare 2 doesn't have anything on this game.
Up until this point, you and I are in agreement. I also think it's game of the year, and I'm only on Chapter 5.
All right. Sam in Seattle says, shout out to you guys for continuing the podcast and giving me something to listen to on my on the bus on my way to college every morning.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, definitely. H Dogger says, if you had to be a koala bear, would you still play video games? And shout out to ZT Z Gambus T Con.
Hey, what's up?
It would be difficult to play video games as a koala bear because they don't have opposable thumbs.
I know, I'd be pissed. Yeah. I'd try though.
I'd try.
I'd have to play some DDR. I'd be the baddest koala bear at DDR.
That would be awesome.
I could play some DJ Hero. Mm.
Yeah.
Honestly though, if I was a koala bear, I'd be too busy eating bamboo.
This is true. Mouse 00000 says, hey guys, haven't been able to tweet in lately. Been programming our team's robot for an FTC contest. Google it.
That is awesome.
That's sweet.
Yeah, trust me, programming a robot is much cooler than writing into our podcast. So,
apparently, Mr. Roboto says the same thing.
Interesting. That's weird.
I don't know why two guys would say the same thing.
Well, he retweeted. It's probably one of those, like,
robots?
Yeah, bot things that just
robots.
Retweets people.
Yeah.
Way to go,
talk about certain things.
Mr. Roboto. Way to ruin the show.
Gosh.
DizLowboy916 says, since GK is too busy to help out the little guy, there's a PSN card for the first N4G podcaster to show up on my podcast.
Oh, wow.
Snap. So now he's bribing us.
Well,
we should probably leave that to Killer Wolverine. He needs all the money he can get.
Honestly, I would love to be on your show. I would love to be on the Evolved Gaming podcast. I was talking to ZT about this actually when we were moving. It's very difficult for me to find 3 hours a week to do this show, let alone another one. So anytime I find time, I promise I will try and knock some of these things out.
I will definitely be on somebody's show when I have a free night. I will definitely message people and let them know the week of that I have some time. But right now, I'm a little busy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of moving. He also says, what means more to the industry, a 10 out of 10 game that sells 1 million or a 6 out of 10 game that sells 10 million? If you're speaking of what means more to the publishers, the 6 out of 10 game that sells 10 million.
But if you mean what means more towards pushing the industry forward, probably the 10 out of 10 game.
Yeah, but it needs to sell 10 million. Yeah. That's what really needs to happen.
Yeah.
Vitor BR says, hey guys, my mom is coming to Brazil in November. Modern Warfare 2, Beatles, Rock Band, and Batman, here we go.
Let's play
Beatles soon.
I don't think actually anybody on the podcast has Beatles Rock Band.
I had it and then I gave it away.
Yeah, and I don't think Boogeyman has it anymore.
No, he didn't even like it.
Yeah.
And he loves the Beatles.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
Back to the Dizlau Boy. I did listen to his his podcast.
Game was like, I need a PSN card.
Yeah. The episode that I listened to was pretty interesting because one of the guys they have on the show is this guy from I think he's from Australia, and man, he went on the biggest, most epic bashing of a company I've ever heard in my entire life. He was basically bashing Mad Catz for basically pretty much like almost 30 minutes, and it was the most epic bashing of a company I've ever heard in my entire life.
Interesting.
And it was entertaining. It was pretty fun.
Article 31 says, great, there is a show this week.
There is a show this week.
Indeed, we're recording it right now.
What do you know?
REMGS says, what's your scariest or favorite scary game? Fatal Frame, bitches.
I'm not actually huge on the scary games.
Yeah.
But
they usually control like crap.
I'd say the scariest is probably Dead Space. And as far as my favorite, I don't know. I don't know that I really have one. Probably Eternal Darkness, if you want to consider that a scary game.
Fatal Frame is by far my favorite.
Yeah.
Scary game.
I think that game made me
poop my pants.
I wish they would bring out the new one for the Nintendo Wii here in the States.
Yeah, I just don't know if I could be scared playing on the Wii.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm holding a giant white waggle wand in my hand. And I'm not really...
Or you could buy the black one.
There you go.
Whatever.
Blends in with the dark.
God, there was a lot of jokes there.
Yeah, there was a ton of jokes there, and we're just going to move past them.
All right. I'm guessing you say this is Gav Spana?
No, I think it's, yeah, well, I think it's Gav, Spana or Spana. Like, Gav's, it's Gav and then Spana.
Gav Spana, Spana.
Spana. Gav Spana.
Says, just playing some Uncharted 2. Man, this is a great game. Love the show. Keep it up, fellas. Spana in the UK.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Yeah,
you.
Uncharted
2. And Uncharted 2 is the bomb.
Missed your show last week. Can't wait. Francisco, Fran2Cisco, I guess, says, I missed your show last week, but we didn't have one, so you didn't miss anything.
There you go.
Can't wait to hear
you. No, he means he missed it. Like, he missed the fact that it wasn't there.
Never mind. I can't wait to hear your impressions on Uncharted 2. Love your show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our impressions of Uncharted 2 is it makes my knees jiggle with excitement.
Rewind. Jay Borsig says, I want to get some UC2 co-op going with you guys this week. Definitely, if we got time.
If I'm on, I would love to.
Silly AC3 says, this podcast better be good.
I think it's Silly Ace with a 3 instead of an E.
Man, that's why I don't want that numbers in your name, man. I can't read that. I say a 3. This podcast better be good to make up for last week.
Well, yeah, it wasn't.
We tried. My PS3 got the yellow light of death
from
playing Uncharted 2 after my first hour.
God, you're kidding me.
Dude, I know you went out and bought a new one.
That
game's
sucks.
A bomb. And he also says, oh, and since the Boogeyman is never on the show, what are his impressions of Uncharted 2?
I actually talked to Boogeyman on Friday, and he was actually not as far as I am in the game, but
what a shock.
He is 100% loving it. He thinks it's fantastic.
I got a text message from him. He said that Uncharted 2 is not a good game. He said it's the greatest fucking thing this year.
It is.
Because I had to send a text back and be like, Uncharted's not good?
What?
But that wraps up the shout-outs, the Twitter, the new releases, the news, the questions, the fondling, and that's a whole show.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what we like to call a show around here. Passes for a show around here.
We put it in a box and we're happy with it. So there you go. So make sure to tune in next week. We'll be talking about more games.
As always, follow all of us on Twitter. If you're not following us on Twitter already, N4G Podcast, GambusCon, ZTGD, R Womble, WOMBOLD, and Killer Wolverine. Follow all those on Twitter. Leave us comments on iTunes because we love it.
We love it.
And leave us questions in the question thread. Also, something I'm noticing lately is not a lot of feedback in the on the actual forum in the show thread every week.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
I don't know if that's just because most people are hitting us up on Twitter now.
Twitter is the new thing.
But yeah, so
yeah,
blow us up
is.
All over the place.
Blow us up everywhere.
We love it.
Gambus likes to be blown up everywhere.
We all like PSN messages and
Xbox Live
messages and everything.
You can send us a message on Wii, but I ain't that fucking convoluted, man.
Well, I'd have to have your friend code first.
I don't even know mine.
Yeah.
I had to turn my Wii on just to send the guy who's sending me Lost Winds a code that I had to, like, look for. I was like, how the fuck do you find this thing? It's worse than a serial number on your ass. I don't get it.
Wow. You have a serial number on your ass?
Maybe I do.
What do you got? Cheek implants?
I do. Maybe I do.
Interesting.
Maybe I'm a sleeper agent.
Wow. A sleeper agent of butt implants?
I scan my ass at Kroger's in the U-scan, and I fucking, like, kill everybody in the store.
Man, that would be very difficult to try to decipher the serial number, especially if you had to look in the mirror.
I usually come up as bananas.
Interesting. So the barcode on your butt
is for bananas.
Rings up for bananas.
There you go.
I'm going to let you make your own jokes.
You should. Put them on Twitter. Anyway, we're out of here. Mr. Khan, if you would please end the show.
All righty then, and I'll say this.
Epic fail. Welcome to the N4G Podcast. Oh, you can!
It's me, Mario!
Zero Dollar!
This is going to be a very interesting episode.
Greetings, programs! I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat!
I always been being angry.
Killer Wolverine! Play games, not consoles! No fanboys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon. 8.0.
Killed the dragon.